This show is a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network. Get more at nerdylegion.com. Enjoy the show!
Spoiler alert! What Did You Watch This Week is a candid discussion about recent movies and TV shows, and it may contain spoilers if you haven't watched them yet. Listen at your own risk.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 72 of What Did You Watch This Week? My name is Mike.
My name is John, once again. That little gasp that you heard from Mike at the beginning, I really thought he was going to go over backwards in his chair from inhaling so much, but he stuck the landing.
You could have just cut that out, and then you wouldn't have that gap, and that it would just be theme, and then me going, hey, everyone, welcome to episode 72 of What Did You Watch This?
Now it's in. Now it's in.
It's kind of permanent.
Kind of a jerk move.
Concrete.
Yeah, forever.
I don't know why my hands are, like, making a vagina-type motion.
I don't know either, but sure. Yeah. It works, I guess.
So,
we don't have a lot to talk about this week.
No, we don't. Discovered that for whatever reasons, neither one of us got to see Dark Matter this week. Mine was much more comical reason. Mike's was...
Mine was, I worked Friday night, and then I went to wrestling on Saturday night, and then today we went on a day trip, 300 miles round trip, to go by my son... a 7-inch stuffed Minnie Mouse toy in a red dress from the Disney Store in Burlington, Mass.
You didn't want to get him a pink dress one?
Nope.
Okay. Be that way then.
Well, the red dress is technically when Minnie Mouse was first introduced, she wore a red dress. So we wanted to go old school.
Yeah.
Now they do pink and purple and blah, blah, blah. And it's a boy, so we thought red dress would be more appropriate. So we drove the 150 miles to Burlington, Mass to buy a $10 stuffed animal, because that's what you do. And then we drove over to...
Remind me again why I should have kids?
I don't know, because it's fun to go on day trips with them.
Because I would have driven 300 miles to buy myself a toy.
But, right. And then we went to Saugus, and we went to Kowloon's, the greatest Chinese restaurant on the planet.
Never been there. You're going to have to take me sometime.
I'm okay with that. It's that good.
Challenge accepted.
I will say this,
there's a place down in Lewiston that supposedly has won awards, and it's like in the top 10 of the nation. Mm. I've been there, but
neither have I.
Yeah.
I didn't even know this place existed.
Yeah, I'll have to look.
There's a Lego store at the Burlington Mall, which is pretty badass because you can make your own little mini Lego character, and you can make three of them for $10,
which is really badass.
It's actually really neat because you pick choose the head, the body, the legs. They have different height legs. You can make a shorty guy or a guy with the bendy legs, and then you can choose a hair, hat, and then accessories. I mean, it's pretty.
Now, are you limited to three, or could you say, like, I want to get 27 of them?
Oh, you can buy as many as you want, but the deal is it's three for $9.99. So if you bought 27 of them, then you'd be charged
$81.
Well, $10 a piece.
$90.
Yeah, $90 plus tax. So.
Gotcha.
Yeah. That's pretty. And it comes with a cool packaging that you basically, it looks like you bought them off the shelf. It's even got the holder hanging on the shelf, and it's there's three slots. You put your guy in, you fold it in half, you push the little clam buttons together, and it seals it. So it's kind of neat. So it's a presentation as well.
My reason was funnier for not watching Dark Matter, and that's that it comes on Friday nights, and I was having an issue with my DVR box where when I would fast forward or pause or whatever, the bar at the bottom that showed the progress and how much time was left wasn't there. So I said, I'll reset my box. So I unplugged it. You're supposed to leave it unplugged for like a minute or so. So I unplugged it, went, got ready for work, went to work. Never put the box back in. Came home, and it was one of those two. Like, I knew it as I was driving home. I just went, oh, shit. And I got home, and I've got a very bright wall clock that is plugged into the cable box. So I'm like, if that clock is off, I never plugged it back in. I looked, and I went, shit. And then it hasn't been on demand. I keep going to check on demand, and it's not on there. So, yeah, it's kind of weird.
Did they have a new episode this week?
I'm pretty sure they did.
Huh. You'd think we would know that.
You'd think we would. It's kind of our job.
Well, it's kind of our hobby.
Yes, yes. Until we get paid, it's a...
Jobs you get paid for.
That's right. Boom.
So anyhow, but we did watch some stuff. I mean, I did watch 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 whole new shows.
Whoa.
Yeah.
I got 4 listed on here, but I might have forgotten to write one down.
Well, I'm going to jump out there. We're not going to talk about Game of Thrones. It's Sunday night. We haven't watched it yet.
Yes. Yeah, so we are recording Sunday night. No Game Sunday of Thrones night, talking. So, sorry, guys.
But however, we did watch Hooten and the Lady.
Hooten and the Lady.
And I believe they went to Ethiopia.
Oh, see, yeah, I didn't write that one down.
There you go. Let's see here. So Ella, coworker of the lady, goes to Ethiopia because she wants to, I don't know, be her.
Yeah, she's like, I want to get out and explore and stuff.
Yeah, well, I think it was like Alex was out doing stuff for her wedding with her fiancé.
Because we got to keep reminding everybody that she's getting married.
And so she took the call and then decided, well, she was going to go check out and see if this artifact was legit. And when she got there, they kidnapped her. And then the lady had to steal this wooden spoon thing.
Which was, it was a spoon that went with a bowl.
Yeah.
But, like, the spoon was the size of the bowl.
Yeah, and it was supposed to be in reference to the Queen of Sheba.
Yeah.
Anyhow, for some riches or the lost city of gold or whatever it is. But anyhow, so Lady Alex heads out there, and she and Ella get themselves kidnapped together now.
Because they're efficient that way.
Yeah, actually, she contacts Hooten first, and, of course, he's in a
jam.
He's in quite the pickle, but he gets himself out of it. And, she called him to say, hey, how do I break in and steal something, basically. Right. And he's, like, got curious what she was doing, so then he followed her there, met her there.
Right.
And then they ran.
There's going to be riches to be had.
Exactly. And then they ran into, like, this crazy lady that was going to kidnap them or kill them. And they eluded her. And then there's a funny scene later on where she comes charging back and goes to jump at them, and they just step out of the way, and she jumps off a cliff.
Yeah.
It was funny.
It was, like... Looney Tunes comical kind of thing.
Absolutely it was. But like I said, Ella and the lady are now kidnapped together, and so Hooten does his best to save them. And it's funny because the pirates or the Ethiopians, whatever the warmongers are, they're kind of infighting with each other.
Yeah.
Because this one guy has his followers, and then the other side's like, no, we need food, we need this, we need that.
Right. We need things to live.
We need, basic needs to live, and you're stealing from us.
Yep.
And so... basically, the lady gets them to turn on each other and draw down, have a Mexican standoff or an Ethiopian standoff.
I was going
to
say.
And it's kind of funny because they just kind of walk away.
Yeah.
And Hooten just kind of walks over and he's like, hey, guys, how's it going?
Here to rescue?
Yeah.
Rescue.
And Ella tells Hooten, like, oh, that one guy stole her engagement ring. So he goes and gets it back and brings it to her.
Yeah.
And he does this big proposal thing or whatever. And then she kind of storms off and Ella's just like, ooh, the sexual tension there. And he's like, I know, right? It was just another fun episode.
Yep.
Another fun episode.
It is. It's definitely a show that, you know, you look forward to every week, but you look forward to it knowing that it's going to be ridiculous.
Yeah. Yeah, pretty much.
Yep.
And they ride some camels.
Yep. Which he spent way too much on. Like, he traded away everything that they had just for camels.
I feel like he pocketed some money in that exchange.
Sure he did. Yeah. Sure he did. He's Hooten after all.
I did watch the two episodes of Preacher I hadn't watched.
Okay.
So I did watch
those. So you're caught up?
I am.
The most recent one you watched was the one where Tulip decided she needed to do drywall on the apartments.
And she gets shot?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. That's the same episode that we learned about Hairstar's training for rail industries.
Oh, my God.
That was hilarious.
That was awesome.
Like, everything he did was funny.
Yep. But he was so straight-faced the whole time. Just like, you know. And then he's just like
shoots the guy in the head.
Right in the head. Yep.
They're rustling the guy and it's his turn. He goes up and he goes, I just want to let everyone know I take no pleasure in this. And then the guy gets in the headlock and he starts jerking off. And it's like, what are you doing? I'm self-gratifying. What's it look like I'm doing? And the guy stops and so he takes him down. Then he gets a shovel and beats him to death.
Yep.
And the guy's like, see, always use a good distraction. Or then when he throws the guy over the cliff.
Yep.
So now he's the boss. Or like you said, it's down between those two, and he just shoots the other guy in the head, so now it's just him. He had a very, very, he's kind of logical way in his mind.
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
It was funny.
It was.
It was really funny.
On the flip side of that, though, between these episodes, they are really, really dragging out this whole, will Cassidy bite Dennis or will he not bite Dennis?
Yeah, to the point where I don't care.
I know. It's like either put a pillow over his head and kill him,
yeah,
put him out of his misery, or bite him and turn him. You know, and Cassidy called, I can only assume, like, another vampire.
Yeah.
He was like Seamus or something, and he had a very thick accent as well, and he's like, don't you dare do it. you know, again, do something. Like you said, I don't care at this point.
Yeah, do something or don't do something. Yep. Have them die, don't have them die, whatever. I don't
care. They've lingered in New Orleans way too long at this point.
Yeah, I mean, well, they got rid of the Santa Killers, so
yeah.
I guess they can hang out, even though there's this other organization that's taking up housing right next to them.
Yep. Yeah. Now, I've never claimed to be a detective.
Sure.
I like to think that I'm a pretty observant guy, though.
You are.
As are you.
Thank you.
Jesse had that DVD of the audition for the guy, and he never flipped it over to look at the bottom part to see that it was stamped Grail Industries.
Yeah, seems like kind of a lackadaisical.
I mean, he was studying everything, and he told these guys that he wanted them to blow it up and do digital manipulation. Serial number from
the gun. My favorite is when they blocked it out the first time. See, you can't see the serial. Yeah, we know, man. Yeah.
Nothing on there at all.
That's the opposite of what I wanted.
Yeah. I want the serial number. But then they could tie it back to you. It wasn't me.
Oh, yeah. But no, it was.
They need to get out of Norm.
They need to, yeah.
And move on.
Yeah. They should have got off the pot.
Yeah. Because they were moving. That was the whole thing with this season. Oh, and everything going on in hell with Eugene.
I don't care at all.
I don't either. Like, I wanted to care.
How little I care is immeasurable.
Yeah. I want to. Like, every time it comes on, I'm like, okay, I'm going to make a conscious effort. I'm going to care about this. And then I just don't.
There's nothing to care about.
No. Again, we've made this argument before. They're trying to make Hitler sympathetic.
Yeah.
They're trying to prove that everybody in hell, if you're nice, they're going to punish you because you're not supposed to be nice. They made Eugene's hell worse somehow.
Yeah, by having her say she loves him, but you should have told me sooner because I'm with the preacher.
Yeah. And how is he not like, you know, okay, well, this is just an illusion because I know that I'm in hell and...
I don't know.
Whatever. It, again, you're right. I don't... Yeah.
Blood Drive.
Blood Drive. The Chop Socky... What was it? The Chop Socky... incident or something like that.
Yeah. Essentially, they're driving through the desert.
This was bizarre.
Which I'm trying to figure out, like, did I miss something from last week's episode? But no, he's still injured.
He was injured, and she had to get him to the next place that had a doctor.
So they end up, like, kind of like the road's cracked open somehow.
Yeah.
Like, it's separated, and so there's a Chinese restaurant, essentially, and they go in, and...
I love how matter-of-fact it is. She's like, he needs a doctor. And she's like, okay, we'll get you a table.
And
she's
you have to order something, and I fix you up with this first aid kit.
The first aid kit is for customers only. Yeah. I'm like, that's great.
But basically, they're both drugged. They go on a spirit journey, essentially what it comes down to.
Yeah. And it's interesting, too, because each episode up until this point has kind of been self-contained.
Yeah.
But then this last episode ended with him injured, and they were like, we got to go get a doctor. Yeah. So you're like, okay, so it's kind of continuing. This one also ended on kind of a cliffhanger type thing.
Yeah, well, okay, so Aki is like his spirit guide. And it's weird seeing her not as a robot, just as a person.
Yeah.
It's kind of really weird. And essentially, like... trailers that they keep showing you, like the clip of like the housewife and the husband and the baby, and she's like, oh, put it in the garbage disposal. That's where this episode, that it's finally happening in this episode.
Yes.
And essentially, like, he's looking at his life like, oh, if he and Grace were domesticated together, if you will.
Yeah.
Or like his partner's turning against him and torturing him because he's full of guilt. And we essentially learn, like, in the first episode, he talked about how he got caught by a police officer robbing a place, and the guy let him off. Well, that's not really what happened.
The guy was going to let him off.
Yeah.
And he kind of...
What really happened was that Arthur accidentally shot him.
Yeah.
And the guy did let him off and then realized he'd been shot. And incidentally, the wound is pretty much the same place as Arthur's wound.
Yeah. I wonder if that's real or if it's how he's imagining it.
Probably some significance to it.
Yeah.
And... yeah, so essentially...
he's going through these different hallucinatory worlds, like her in the domesticated house and stuff like that. But the sheriff from the last episode keeps following him and apparently can damage him while he's there.
Yeah, he spells him out good big time.
Yeah, and then his body in real life that the Chinese woman is trying to take care of is reacting to it as well.
It's suffering the consequences.
Yeah, so that's a little bit weird.
It's a lot bit weird.
Yeah. And then the woman that's fixing him, Grace, keeps talking to her, and she like has pictures of Grace and Karma, and she knows everything about her, and even the fortune cookie. Like,
they get in a big fight a couple of times. Yep. Yeah.
And Grace is absolutely powerless against this woman, who's like a ninja, apparently.
And then ultimately at the end, like, I can't remember. I know Grace is obviously wants Arthur to come out of it, so she's starting to give him some of her blood.
Yes. She's going to give him a transfusion.
But then the next thing we kind of know, Arthur's, was he going to kill himself and then it cut away, or?
I'm trying to remember now.
Because, like, essentially he disappeared.
Yep.
The restaurant disappeared. Yep. And the only thing that's left is, like, a fortune cookie and the check.
Yes. I love that.
And Grace is just left sitting in the middle of the desert, kind of stranded. And have no idea what happened to Arthur or where he is.
And then the next episode, like I said, looks like a continuation because he's in something that looks like an Amish place, but an evil Amish place. And they kill people because everybody kills everybody in this world.
Oh, yeah, they do.
I love it.
I love this show. It's great. Even this week's episode, which was just really kind of like a little mind fuck, it was really good.
Yep. Yeah. Yep, it was. And they finally, I meant to mention this last week, they've finally gotten me to the point where I kind of care about what's going on with Christopher and Aki.
Oh, yeah.
Not like...
And then this week, we got nothing on them.
Right.
But she was like, she was Arthur's spirit guide. Otherwise, we got nothing.
So. And we got a little bit of Slink, but not a lot.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, we saw Slink and Christopher in his world, in his mind's world, but they weren't themselves.
Yeah, they was kind of weird. Slink was like the doctor. And he also, in his world, he traveled back to, oh my God, what was that place? I want to say Prairie. It was the cannibal place.
Yes.
He was there. He's gone back through a couple of different places.
Yeah, some of the places they joined along the way where he's ashamed of
Pixie
himself.
Pixie Falls, where
he's ashamed of what he's done.
Yep. There was a lot of shame.
Including killing the sheriff.
Yep.
The Eyeless Sheriff from last
episode. He shot the sheriff.
He didn't shoot the deputy, though.
No, he did not.
There wasn't really one.
No, not really.
Midnight Texas. You watch this at all yet?
Yeah, I caught up.
And?
This show's going to get canceled.
Is it because you like it or because it's garbage?
I don't think it's garbage.
Yeah.
But it's closer to that end of the spectrum than me liking it.
Our buddy Rude said, he's you watch Midnight Texas? I'm like, yeah. He's like, yeah, I actually like it quite a bit. So it'll probably get canceled.
Hmm. It's not a terrible show. I think, though, Charlaine Harris, the woman who did it, she also did True Blood. And yes. I think that it probably would be a much better show if it was on a network that could show more.
Yeah.
It doesn't even have to be a full HBO or Showtime.
Right.
If it was on, like, an AMC or something.
If it could get away with a little bit more than what it's getting away with.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yep.
Because I have a feeling that the source material is probably closer to the True Blood kind of stuff.
Probably, so I'd
some
say.
Some of these dark things, like... If it was even as dark as Supernatural in the first couple of seasons, I think it would be a lot better. But some of it's almost comical, the way that
there is a little campy in spots.
You're right. Campy is a better word than comical, but it's just like, yeah.
Well, essentially, this episode was all about Lemuel, a vampire.
Yep.
We learn how he became a vampire.
Yep.
We learn how he became the type of vampire he is, where he doesn't really feed on blood, but he feeds on energy, so Eddie can kill other vampires by touching them.
Makes him handy in a fight.
Absolutely. Long and short of it's this. He was a slave during slave times.
Oh, those whip marks looked real, didn't they?
Yep. Absolutely. He ran away and caught up with who I'm going to call the new token Indian guy. Because every time, I can't think of his real name, but he plays the Indian reservation sheriff on Longmore. Or he was in the second season of Fargo. And, like, everything I see him in, he obviously plays a Native American, but he's, like, now the go-to guy who's being a Native American.
Right.
So, in this episode, he's playing a Native American, and he's the one that turned Lem into a vampire.
Mm-hmm.
And then Lem joins his herd, if you will, and then eventually they end up in, Midnight Texas. And
crows get to be a murder. Why are vampires a herd?
I don't know. I couldn't think of what they're called. Mm-hmm. Nest? Following? Coven?
I don't know. Flock?
I think they call it a nest on Supernatural.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
Anyways, so they're in Midnight Texas, and basically he's just like, his words, Lem's words, are, I've went from becoming one slave to another.
Yep. Now he's a slave to blood and he's a slave to this guy. And essentially, Manfred, the star, his dead grandmother, when she was a teenager, was in Midnight, Texas. She was offered up to Lemuel as a, like, here, killer.
Yeah.
And he chose not to. And so she instead then used her powers to make him a vampire that feeds off energy.
And so vampire he wouldn't be a slave to the blood anymore.
Right? And a vampire that kills other vampires. And essentially by doing that...
He's glad he didn't eat her.
Yep. Essentially by doing that, he has banished the rest of the vampires. Stay away from him.
Yep.
You don't come near him.
I can't blame them.
He's told him, you know, you leave all the residents of Midnight Texas alone, you don't come back. But here it is now, fast forward 50, 60 years later, and they've come back. Yep. And at first he kind of welcomes them with open arms, because he's like, they're not going to fuck with this town.
Yeah, because that one guy was like going to feed on the girl. He's like, oh, it's just a joke we do. Ha, yeah. Ha, ha. I wasn't really going to feed.
But ultimately, that's what they're there for.
Yeah, you know where it's going as soon as they show up.
They poisoned Lemuel with silver-laced blood, and then that got him all laid up, and then they were going to kill everybody. And then,
yep.
Of course, ultimately, in the end, the bad guys lost.
Right, yeah. Because it's a show.
They use this sunrise quartz or something like that, and the angel...
The angel, once again... You know,
powered it with his angelness, yep. And it... basically made sunlight on the town and everyone died.
It makes you wonder why they need anybody but the angel in the town.
Correct.
He seems to solve every problem for this town.
So, there's a waitress on this show. Her name's Creek. And in the first
few, they all have really weird names.
Yeah, they do. In the first two episodes, she is basically established as the love interest character for Manfred when he's new in town. And she just doesn't want her dad to know because he doesn't like specials or whatever. But she's always been portrayed as like that wholesome girl next door. And this episode in the opening, she's basically like, oh, let's just be fuck buddies.
Yeah.
Doesn't that sound like a great thing? I'm going to walk home by myself now. Cause I'm dangerous. Yep. You know I mean? It's just like,
they flipped her 180.
Absolutely. And then, you know, later on in the episode, she's caught at home car, you know, whittling out, steaks to stab vampires in the heart with. And her brother walks in. He's like, come on, I know something's going on. Tell me. And she's like, no. He's like, come on. She's like, no. And he goes, come on? And she goes, okay.
It really was that pathetic.
You know, it was just, yeah.
And it was some piss-poor like, writing right
She's
there.
Like, here, she pulls the bucket that's 6 inches underneath the table that he could clearly see. Right. Pulls it out and goes, start wiggling. And he's like, I'll get my knife. And then we don't see him again.
Yeah. She's going to make him.
Oh, we do see him later. But yeah, it was stupid.
Yeah. Again, I don't hate the show. I don't think that it's
good.
But it's also summertime, and like that's the end of my show list for this week. So
wait, there's one more. Even I have one more.
Okay.
You introduced me to the show.
Oh, I have two shows then.
Yeah. Okay.
But yeah, so anyway, it's not that I hate the show. It's just, it's bad to me. It's not great.
Yeah, I mean,
it's very cheesy.
It's tolerable.
Yep.
On a,
it's not the worst thing. It's not as bad as a kick in the nuts. That's my endorsement.
There's not a lot of shows on right now.
Nope.
And like, I did watch the first episode of Killjoys. I do want to try to watch some more of that, but it's an hour long show, and I'm having a hard time committing to it.
Yep. I hear you.
But I did watch. I've now watched all three episodes of The Guest Book. the TBS show, and it's fantastic,
isn't it?
I love how at the beginning of episodes 2 and 3, you see those two guys at the vending machine at work, like, "Hey, that new show I was telling you about is on tonight." You know, it's got like those few characters that are in there every week, but the majority is new cast that comes in that's renting this cabin, and they're starting to establish the regular characters, and then like the new ones come in. And in fact, in this week's episode, it says here Phyllis and her husband's weekend retreat with his boss from work and his boss's much younger girlfriend becomes unbearable for Phyllis until she finds an unlikely escape by helping a stranger, Marcia, run away from a plural marriage.
Yeah. It was a bizarre
scenario. But it was funny.
Yeah. I love, like I was telling you last time, how one episode is ending while the second episode is beginning.
Yes. You're seeing like last week's episode, the first episode, as they're leaving the cabin, you see the Christian couple come in, yep. And you know, it's
And then they keep throwing in little things. Like in the third episode, she's walking across the yard. She's like, ow. And she's like, there's a used syringe out in the yard. That was from the first episode. So also, I think you might have known this, but Garrett Delahunt, of course.
Yes.
Playing the – and then his ex-wife. I wish that they could have gotten Virginia from
– Yes, from Raising Hope.
But it's Becky from, you know, How I Met Your Mother, you know, Boats, 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 Becky.
Yes, yes.
But the kid, I'm certain, is the one who played young Jimmy on Raising Hope.
Really? Did you look that up?
I did not look that up, but I recognized him because there was one episode of Raising Hope where they were talking about how he only wanted to wear a mask of himself for Halloween. And I was like, it's that kid. I swear to God, it's that kid.
So I actually watched about a dozen episodes of Raising Hope, and I watched that episode.
Yeah. And he's like, Jimmy, Jimmy.
I never really watched the complete last season of Raising Hope.
Oh.
Yeah. I just fell out.
Yep.
But it's on Netflix, and I was like, oh, I feel like watching Raising Hope. And I kind of like how Sabrina married and Hope's her daughter and this and that and everything. So I've been watching those. It's just a funny show.
It was a good send-off at the end because they knew they were ending, and it was a good way
so
to end
do,
it.
So I do look forward to seeing that.
Yeah. But yeah, Greg Garcia just does a good job with down-to-earth kind of humor.
That's why I watched the show.
Yeah.
Because I watched Raising Hope was because of the guest book and Greg Garcia. I'm like, I want to watch some Raising Hope. I like me some Garrett Delahunt. He's funny. Oh,
absolutely. He does great in a serious role as well. Like, I loved him in Burn Notice, Looper, you know. He's played a good straight man as well, but he does humor quite well. Yes. Now, I got to ask, while you're looking that up, the first episode, Danny Pudi and his wife, Lauren Lapkus.
Yes, hilarious.
Did you have a few, like, PTSD flashbacks? Because as I was watching their relationship, all I could picture was your first marriage. Towards the end.
I may have had that.
I was like, he's going to be traumatized by watching this.
I may have had that happen. Okay, so Grayson Chance plays young Jimmy with musical talent.
Nope, it's not that kid. Because that was the episode where he could play the piano.
This says Grayson Chance is playing young Jimmy with musical talent. Apparently he's done a lot of, he's released a lot of albums.
Nice. Well, I'll look him up because I'm quite certain it's him. But I'm glad that you like the show because I know the last time that I suggested a TBS show, the last two times, it was Angie Tribeca, which you did not like.
No, not at all.
And then, what is it? The Alien Abduction one. Oh my God! I'm blanking.
People from Earth?
Yeah, there you go. People from Earth, which is okay. I'm watching the second season. It's mediocre at best. But I'm glad that this one you could agree with me on that it was a good show. You know, it was definitely enjoyable.
Yeah,
and I'm looking forward to seeing what happens next. Now, I like Greg Garcia's style. I've liked it since My Name Is Earl.
Right.
And I liked My Name Is Earl more than I expected to like My Name Is Earl, but it was really well done. So I'm looking forward to the rest of the season.
Nice. Yep. And except for one movie, that pretty much wraps it up for me.
I'll just give a quick update that I watched I'm Sorry. Remember I had told you about that show a while back? The one where they had the first episode online. I pointed out, I gave you the link to it.
Yes, I think I watched that.
Yep, you did.
Okay.
And I think you said you liked it. I've been watching it since then.
What channel is that on?
It's on True TV. Same one that has Adam Ruins Everything.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Yeah.
Oh, and by the way, I have not watched the most recent Adam Ruins because I wasn't that interested. It's Adam Ruins Fine Art. So I'll watch it. Yeah, I'll watch it, but I probably won't be reporting on a lot of it. So, basically, I'm Sorry is hilarious.
Yeah.
It's like Greg Garcia stuff. It's very blunt, down-to-earth humor. But, like, in this most recent one, you know, they had the moms all gathered around outside the school. They're, like, looking at the little kids in the strollers. And, you know, one of them's like, oh, look at him. He's so cute. He's going to be such a heartbreaker. And this mom, you know, she's not stupid. She just doesn't know when to keep her mouth shut. So she's like, oh, yeah, well, look at this little girl over here. I mean, she's adorable. She's going to be quite the cock tease when she grows up.
That seems inappropriate.
That's a baby in a stroller. So, yeah, it was definitely inappropriate. But that's the humor of the show. And I like it. It's good for some good laughs, some good raunchy laughs. And yep. Yes, this guy, the kid that's in the guest book is him, because he played 5-year-old Jimmy, 3-year-old Jimmy, 4-year-old Jimmy, 6-year-old Jimmy, 3-year-old Jimmy. So it was him.
All right. Well, there you go.
Yep. So that was the only other show that I watched. I got a couple of movies.
What did you watch for movies?
Well, aside from the one that we watched together tonight, I watched Bad Moms.
Oh, with Mila Kunis?
Yep.
How was it?
And Kristen Bell and Christina Applegate. It was a lot better than I expected.
Yeah.
When I first saw the previews, I thought that it was Bad Moms, as in like they were like, yeah, we just want to party and we just want to. And I've met too many of those people, you know, who just want to party and play and they don't want to be parents. This was more along the lines of mothers who basically are fed up with being mothers, you know, because their kids are rotten, their kids are terrible.
Yeah.
PTA meetings, soccer practice, running back and forth. Any parent has had those moments when they're frustrated with the fact that they are just living to serve these small human beings who are usually ungrateful, rude, demanding, etc. So
I can empathize with that.
I bet you can.
Not like every day or daily thing, but
and that was the thing here.
Occasionally, yeah.
So they each had their own thing. You know, Mila Kunis came in and found her husband cheating on her with a webcam woman.
Good.
And
like they're both there together or over the webcam?
No, over the webcam.
Oh, okay.
And she asked him how long had been going on. And the girl was like, oh, we've been together for like 10 months this Tuesday. And so she kicked him out of the house. But now she's dealing with the two kids on her own.
Wait, hold on. So she caught her husband.
He was basically doing Skype sex. Yeah.
I guess that's cheating.
Yeah. And then Kristen Bell was the weird homeschooling mom.
I thought she was going to be the webcam girl.
No. She was the weird homeschooling mom who has like 4 or 5 kids, and her husband is one of those pricks who's just like, you get over here now. And then I keep forgetting her name, but she's hilarious. She was the third mom in this little triumvirate, and she's the one who has like the 16-year-old boy who's all a little slow, you know, doesn't quite know what he's doing, might make it to trade school, might not. But she's also the wilder of the three of them. Anyway, it's them bonding over the frustrations of motherhood. Christine Applegate and Jada Pinkett Smith are the PTA bitches who run the whole school and run the PTA. And
they're the mean girls.
Yep, they are. And it was actually really good. It was much more down to earth than I expected, but it was also funny. I recommend it.
Would you ever watch it again?
Yes, I would.
Oh, okay.
Absolutely. All right. Like the humor in it was good enough and the story was good. And you know, there were some real heartfelt moments. I don't have kids.
Did you rent that? Or was it on Netflix or?
It was on HBO or maybe Showtime.
All right. So it's on one of the movie channels. Okay.
Yeah. Cool. And then today I went to the theatre, and I watched The Dark Tower with Mr. Moran.
So real quick.
Yeah.
I've heard really good stuff and really bad stuff.
As had I. Basically, I had heard the same thing.
Yep.
A lot of people said, oh, it's really cool. A lot of people said, this is horse shit. I went into it armed with some knowledge. Okay, I've never read the books. Meringue has read all the books and could quote some of them. So we both had different levels of background there.
Now, I heard that the movie is actually a sequel to the books and not it's telling of the books.
Correct. Okay, it is a sequel / reboot kind of thing to the books.
Yeah.
Because according to Mr. Meringue, in the books, Roland never meets up with the Man in Black. Like, he's never crossed paths with him completely.
They meet up in the trailer.
Oh, yeah. So, yeah. Armed with that knowledge, armed with the knowledge that this was not the books, we both said, let's just look at this as an action movie. We're going to look at it as a fun action movie.
And sometimes you need to do that.
Yep.
Yeah.
Based on that, it was great.
Oh, good.
Loved it. So some of the pacing was a little fast.
Yep.
They definitely resolved everything by the end, which felt a little bit off considering that King's 8 books in. He has famously said, he said this back when my dad was around and was telling me about it. He had said that if he could ever finish the Dark Tower series,
yeah,
it would fill a library and take him 1,000 years to write. Because that's the scope of the story he had in his head.
Well, that he should.
This was 1.5 hours long.
Yeah. Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So it was a very condensed version of the future of this.
Okay.
Jer told me a number of different things, you know, well, this wasn't in this and this was this. But it wasn't like this was based on the first book and then going, no, it's not. This was like, oh, okay, I can see where they got this from. I enjoyed it.
Okay.
For what it was.
Good gunplay scenes.
Definitely.
Yeah, from the looks of things.
Yep. Yep. And some really weird stuff. There were also nods everywhere to King's books.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I wish that I could have picked out more, but like there was 1408. Okay. No. Oh, I thought you were plugging your ears to like...
No, I'm scratching them. They itch at the same time.
1408 was on there, which was a Stephen King novel that John Cusack was in the movie.
It's a room number.
Yes, yep. At one point, and some of them were so mild. Like at one point, a little kid is just rolling a little red car along the floor, and you're like, oh, it's Christine. He's seeing a bunch of people on the street, and he like doesn't know what's going on. He sees one woman walk by, walking a great big old Saint Bernard on a white, and I'm like, Cujo. At one point, they find the ruins of an amusement park that says Pennywise.
Oh, nice.
You know, so there's nods to all of King stuff because he always said that this was like the crux of his universe.
Derry, Maine.
Yep. So I would love to have. You know, I'm going to go and look up an article that says, here's all the stuff that you might have missed, because I want to know what all the little references were.
But oh, that's cool.
Yeah, it was cool seeing that kind of stuff. And, I enjoyed it.
Would you watch it again?
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
Cool.
I would not watch it, like, multiple times.
No.
But I would watch it again.
I have this urge to watch Evil Dead again.
But I'll watch that one 1,000,000 times.
Yeah. I'm just saying. I wanted to bring it up. I've had this urge to watch it again.
Yep. The original or the second one?
The original.
Okay.
But the remake, not the remake, not the reboot, the alternate timeline sequel, whatever you want to call it.
Right.
It's a great movie in itself.
It is.
Yeah.
It is. And again, if you look at it that way, if you don't look at it as, well, this is the new canon for Evil Dead.
Well, that was the thing. Is I remember, like, I was actually on Bruce Campbell's forum on his website back in the day, and people were ripping about it, the new one, because, you know, oh, you're going to destroy Ash, you're going to destroy my characters, on and on and on. And I went on there and I posted something that Mr. Campbell himself gave a nod to.
Nice.
And other people liked and commented on that, so they liked, and okay, that makes sense, you know what I mean? Which was basically, I was like, look, I love Evil Dead. It's my first horror movie I ever really loved. So maybe fall in love
with horror. I thought Chud was.
No, I did not love Chud. I just became obsessed with this movie and watching it, you know, and getting, you know, and just getting all the... Like they, every DVD I check to see if it has new special features I haven't seen.
I remember.
I want to watch it and everything. You know, I got it brought to Maine to play in the theater.
Yeah.
Down at the Nickelodeon in Portland so I could see it on the big screen finally.
And then we went down to Massachusetts to see the musical.
Evil Dead, the musical, yeah. And then now Ash vs. Evil Dead. I mean, it's amazing. Yeah. I have the figures. I mean, like, I'm an Evil Deadite.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. So... When I found out they were doing the movie, I was like, but I mean, okay, Sam Raimi is going to be somewhat involved. There was Rob Tappert, okay, Bruce Campbell, they're going to executive produce, maybe. And then when I realized that they weren't going to have Ash in the movie, Ashley Williams is not in the movie. Therefore, they cannot ruin the character. So that's when I went onto the forum and I posted. I go, look, when Rob Zombie redid Halloween, I was trepidatious because I do not like Rob Zombie's films.
Or Rob Zombie in general.
I did, and I don't mind some of his music. I was terrified what he was going to do to Michael Myers.
Yep.
Because that's another character I've grown to love. And I love all the horror movies. Michael Myers, Jason Voorhees, Freddy Krueger. I enjoy them all.
Charles Lee Riley.
Yeah. I liked the new Nightmare on Elm Street.
Yep. I did too.
What's his face?
Jack Earl Haley
as Freddy Krueger.
He was in The Dark Tower, by the way.
I thought that was a great flick. I thought they did a really good job with that. And I know some people hated that movie. I thought it was great.
I did too.
The new, the most recent Friday the 13th that they did, the updated one in the lake house, like whatever. It? Yeah, I thought that was a good movie.
Yeah.
That being said, so I was like, you know, I love Michael Myers, and when I found out Rob Zombie was doing the flick, I was afraid he was going to ruin him.
Mm-hmm.
And then that first movie came out, and I went and watched, and it was absolutely amazing. I love that movie.
Oh,
it is phenomenally good. It is spectacular. And then he did Halloween 2, and he did everything that Michael Myers I was afraid he was going to do.
Holy God, didn't he?
That movie, I mean, it was so,
night and day.
That movie is so fucking terrible. It makes Batman versus Superman look good.
Ooh, I don't know if I'd go that far.
That's how bad that movie is, though.
Oh, it's a close call. I'm not saying you're wrong, but that's a close call between the two.
If I had to choose which one of those I thought was a better movie, I'd have to go with Batman versus Superman.
Because it has Wonder Woman in it.
Because it has Wonder Woman in it, and she's the saving grace of the movie.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. And now that I've seen Wonder Woman, I appreciate her parts in that movie even more.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, look what she got stuck working with.
I know. That dog shit piece of crap of a movie.
Martha!
Yeah. Aquamartha!
Yeah, great. So anyways... So I commented on
You know
on
why,
it.
Though?
Why?
Halloween 2?
Yeah.
Did you notice that his wife was in a lot of it?
Yeah, it was. Yeah,
and I'm sure that she was like, honey, what if we did this instead? What if she Yoko'd it.
Yeah, pretty much, yeah. You know, they took the mask off Mike Myers, and they just...
They kept having a horse.
Yeah, it was just... It was so dumb. It was so dumb. There's too much symbolism.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever. I don't like French art films either. So anyways...
Me.
But that's the thing I commented on. Ashley Williams is not going to be in this movie. None of the characters from Evil Dead are going to be in this movie. It's a whole new set of characters who find the book and have their misadventure with it.
Yep.
So I'm not going to shit on it. I'm going to wait to see if it comes out and judge it based on, you know, the movie as itself. And people are like, you know, that's a really great way of looking at it. Really great. You know what I mean? And then the movie came out, and I went to the theaters and saw it, of course, and I was like, this is amazing. And then, of course, you always wait for the credits, and then Bruce Campbell has his cameo at the end,
yep.
You know, with his groovy, and I'm like, And then later on, you find out basically what it is they're saying, no, this is an alternate timeline.
Mm-hmm.
And they even talked of doing a sequel to that movie, and they're doing another Army of Darkness where the two main characters cross over, where Ash, and I can't think of the girl, but...
Wasn't her name Ashley as well?
No, it wasn't. That was the thing. No, that was the thing. Is like there was no Ashley Williams in the new Evil Dead remake. That's why it was. That's why it was.
That's
okay.
Why it was tolerable for you.
Yes, that's why it was tolerable. You're looking it up.
Yep.
Yeah. I know she was in Suburbia, which was a great
Jane
flick.
Levy.
Jane Levy. There we go. But her character name is.
So I'm looking. Mia.
Mia. Okay. So where Mia and Ash were going to meet up, but then they did the Ash versus Evil Dead.
I would have loved the
series. I would have too, but I love the Ash vs. Evil Dead series. Yeah. So yeah,
given a choice between the two, I'll take the Ash vs.
Oh yeah, I mean, forget the third season's going to be coming out this year at some point, maybe early next year actually. But they're filming it; they're working on it.
Yep.
So I mean, I'm loving every second of it.
Of course.
So that being said,
mm-hmm.
The long way around of all this,
I forgot where we even.
I forgot when we started. Yeah. No, the movie you're saying is it's going to be a reboot.
Yes.
Not a retelling or whatever. Yep. So, yeah. I'm willing to give anything a chance, even if it's going to be a reboot.
Yep.
Based on that Evil Dead flick, as opposed to Halloween 2 that Robert Zombie did. That was garbage.
Yeah.
Anyhow.
The only thing worse than that, I would say, was Cabin Fever.
Oh, God.
The original Cabin Fever. The thing that originally turned me off to Eli Roth.
Now he's doing Death Wish.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what, though. I did watch The Green Inferno, and I did enjoy it.
Hmm.
I liked The Green Inferno that he did. Kind of, you know, reinvigorated himself with The Green Inferno. And made that, and I actually listened to a couple of podcasts with him and Chris Jericho. And
I've seen him a couple of times on Midnight, and he was actually... Pretty
yeah.
good.
Listening to him on the podcast with Jericho really makes me like, all right, this guy loves movies. Like, he has a passion for movies like I have a passion for wrestling.
Yep.
And then you look at his work a little bit different then.
Yep.
There's all the homages he does.
Not Cabin Fever.
But not Cabin Fever. That's just
horseshit.
Garbage.
He has gotten better, though. Like I said, you know, now you see that Death Wish has come out, and you're like, I want to see that.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, yeah. So we watched the movie together tonight with the wife. We watched Snatched. And no, it is not a sequel to Snatch. From Guy Ritchie, which is a great flick in itself. This is a movie that stars Amy Schumer and Goldie Hawn, which she was 70 years old when this was filmed.
Goldie Hawn, not Amy Schumer.
Well, okay. And this is her first movie in 15 years.
Yeah. And I want to know what brought her out of retirement. Because, like, you made the comment early on, like, she's had plastic surgery.
Yeah, well, it was weird because depending on the angle or the shot or the scene, there's times where she looked like Goldie Hawn, and there's other times where she looked like not really Goldie Hawn.
not really Goldie Hawn.
Yeah, but this is not a movie I'd probably ever seek out to watch again.
Nope.
But I really enjoyed it.
Oh, yeah.
And it was funny.
Yep.
We had a great laugh.
Yes, a lot of great laughs.
Yes, and essentially what it is...
shovel to the face, that noise.
Oh, my God.
Holy God.
Are you sure he's okay? I saw his brain.
Yeah.
There's... Amy Schumer basically is a... She's a loser in life whose boyfriend dumps her, and then she has this this trip, this non-refundable trip to Ecuador, and she talks her mom into going with her.
Because... It's like a – I hate to say this, but it's a whole family of losers.
Yeah.
Like her brother is a grown man who lives there because he's got agoraphobia and never leaves the house.
Yeah.
And Goldie Hawn is the mother who like spends all of her time locking the doors and reading about break-ins in other states.
Like she calls and leaves a message. I know you're in New York, but in Delaware there was a burglary. So yeah. Make sure you look out.
Yeah.
You
she's know, got like 15 locks on the doors.
Yeah.
Loves her cats more than anything. So it's kind of a family that is going nowhere in life.
So they go to Ecuador. Long and short of it, they get snatched or held hostage for ransom money. They escape. There's hijinks. There's Christopher Maloney, who is phenomenal in this flick.
Of course.
Absolutely phenomenal. I love his character in this movie. There's, what's that fella's name?
Ike Barinholtz.
Ike Barinholtz, who plays a...
he's the brother.
Yeah, he's the brother, who is the agoraphobic brother, who is a giant nerd and hilarious.
Oh, yeah. He is so good in everything that I've seen him in. He is just one of those actors that riffs like crazy, and he's just friggin' hilarious.
And then there's the U.S. consulate character, and I can't think of this comedian's name either.
Nope.
Absolutely hilarious. I mean, he is hilarious.
Yep.
There's lots of cursing.
Yep.
There's a boob. You get to see Amy Schumer's boob. Allegedly her boob.
No, it is.
Yep. Joan Cusack's in the movie.
In her best role ever.
Because her character's mute. But like Wanda Sykes is in the movie. She does plenty of talking for both of them.
Oh, yeah.
It's a fun movie.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed it. We had a lot of great laughs.
Absolutely.
It's only an hour and a half long, so it doesn't even take up a lot of your time.
Yep.
But it's not like I'm going to run out to want to watch it again by any means. It's just, it was good. It was funny.
Yep. Yeah. End of story.
Pretty much.
Now, speaking of Christopher Maloney, I know that I had given you a news article a while back, months ago probably. There's a show coming on, I believe, Sci-Fi, called Happy.
Oh, yeah.
He was the greatest detective in New York, probably the greatest detective in the world. Now he's washed out, washed up.
Yeah, yeah.
And
what's that coming on?
It's coming this fall, I believe.
Okay.
And I keep seeing short previews for it, but it's like an animated horse that he sees and only he can see. And he's hallucinating it or something, but that's his new partner. But he looks like shit. He's like wrecked.
Fantastic. He does a good job at that. The one last thing I have I want to talk about real quick is the X-Files season 11 coming. They're filming now. Annabeth Gersh is coming back this season.
Really?
Yes.
Nice.
So that's kind of interesting. That's kind of cool to see her returning to the fold as well.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I saw a few trailers when I went to see The Dark Tower today.
Yeah.
I wrote them down, but I didn't really care to see any of the movies. The first one you may have seen before called Birth of the Dragon.
I actually do want to see that. It's the fight between Bruce Lee. I've talked about it on this show, actually. It's the fight between Bruce Lee and this
I couldn't think of the name either.
He's a monk.
But he basically says that Bruce Lee is a traitor, you know, because he's doing all this commercial
stuff.
Yeah,
it's allegedly based on the real fight these two guys had. They talked about it and dragged in the Bruce Lee story, Jason Scott Lee. That was decent. But essentially, because he trains white people in the art of kung fu, they come like, you get trained whitey?
Yeah.
And then they fight about it.
Yep.
But it looks like a decent flick. It's a WWE film.
Yes. Well, that's the thing is I just looked at Brang and I was like, did you ever think you'd see the day when you'd be like, oh, this looks cool, WWE film?
Yeah.
Yep.
It's a WWE film, yeah.
Yep. Looks pretty good.
Yeah.
Like one scene in particular, he's just like got his finger up to his chest.
He goes,
have you seen my 1-inch punch? Boom! Right through the wall. There was another one called Mother, but it's like Mother with an exclamation point. And it was a unique kind of trailer.
I think I saw this trailer as well.
It's got Jennifer Lawrence walking in a nightgown through a house.
Yes.
And she never talks, but you hear audio from the movie the whole time.
Yeah.
And it's like, why did you let them in the house? What's going on? Why do you have my people? And it's going to be Javier Bardem as well. And I heard, who was it? I want to say Ed Harris and somebody else, famous actress, are in it. It's probably going to be creepy, but it was an interesting way to do a trailer, because she's just walking through like she's looking for something, and then in the over her, you know, over everything else is Siri. Over everything else is just various audio clips from the actual movie.
Okay, I remember seeing this now. It's a psychological horror, and it's written and directed by Darren Aronofsky.
Oh, okay.
He did Black Swan. He did The Rustler. Yeah. The plot follows a young woman whose tranquil life with her husband at their country home is disrupted when the arrival of a mysterious couple.
Cool. It might be interesting. The trailer was nothing that I was like, oh my god, I got to see this movie.
Yeah. It says here that the remote country room was challenged by a mysterious couple who arrive and lodge with them, and that's Ed Harris and Michelle Pfeiffer.
Oh, okay. I knew the Ed Harris part, but yeah. Michelle Pfeiffer. There were two more movies that I got trailers for that both had Miles Teller in them.
Okay.
Which was really weird to see both of them. And he was basically playing a similar character in both. One of them was called, Thank You for Your Service, and it's from the people who did Shooter and American Sniper, and it's another one of these, you know, he was a vet who was doing the bomb patrols in Afghanistan and was traumatized and now is trying to readjust to civilian life and everyone else. Exactly. I was just like, yeah, I'm all set with this. I know that there are people out there who are going to be like, I want to see this.
I'm going to go with a pass.
The other one was called Only the Brave, and it's apparently based on a real story about these guys who wanted to fight wildfires up in some mountain.
Is there a scene in the trailer where they get overcome so they have to pull their fire blankets over them or something like that?
Not in the trailer I saw.
Okay.
But this one's got, oh my god, why can't I'm blanking here. It's, holy crap, who's playing Cable?
Yes, it's the same movie I saw then. Yeah. It's, and not...
I keep on to say Josh Gad.
Josh Brolin.
Thank you. I was like, Josh Duhamel.
It was Pierce Bronson for some reason, but I knew it wasn't him.
We worked together and we got it.
We got it.
So Josh Brolin is
I think I've seen that trailer.
So basically it's a bunch of firefighters who are not allowed to fight the wildfires until they become hotshots.
Yes.
It's like a classification, kind of like
you have to go through a training. Yep. Yes.
And absolutely. They keep trying to get the training and they keep trying to, and they see all the wildfires that are threatening to come close to the place that they live.
Yeah.
And they just want to be out there fighting them, but they
can't. These are the firefighters they drop in who clear land, cut stuff back, dig trenches, try to redirect the fire.
They've got the planes that fly over and drop the stuff. And it's based on not based on a real story, but it's
probably inspired by actual events.
Yeah.
It's inspired by people who do this job.
Yeah. I have no interest in seeing it, but again, I'm sure that there are people out there who are going to be like, hey, that's right up my alley. I was like,
absolutely.
I was like, it's Backdraft 2, Wildlands Boogaloo.
I know so many firefighters that shit all over Backdraft.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. In my EFD training,
he
was like, let me tell you everything wrong with that movie.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Oh,
well.
But I'm sure everybody knows about this, but there's a big thing going on right now where Disney has pulled all their stuff from Netflix.
Well, they haven't pulled it yet, but they're going to be.
See, that's what I thought the other day, too. And then Rude was like, no, they already pulled it. It's already gone.
No, it's gone. Actually, their deal goes through 2019, and they can cycle stuff in and out. That's how their deal works.
Okay.
But it's not all gone. My kids are still watching it, for crying out loud. But essentially, it looks like a big chunk's going to come out in 18. The rest are going to come out in 19.
Because Disney wants to do their own streaming
stuff. Basically, yeah, that's what it's pointing to. So, but there's still talk, is Disney going to also have all their Marvel and Star Wars stuff on there?
Because, the Defenders.
Is that
going to
stay on Netflix? Well, all that stuff's separate. Those are separate deals. Those will stay on Netflix. Good. I read something about that. All those shows are safe.
But Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is a Disney-owned property that has no ties to Netflix.
Exactly. So, probably that, or Agent Carter, or all the movies. Yep. But again, there's talk of,
they're trying to get a deal going because Netflix is like, don't take it from us.
Because if you think of all the Disney shows that are on there, and there's not a lot of movies either, cartoon movies, but there's some.
Yep.
But there's a lot of the half hour, the teen comedy stuff that my kids love to watch, like Bonked or Sweet Life of Zach and whatever, and Jesse and...
Yeah, you lost me.
Whatever else they watch. The one with the twin girls who play the same, the one girl that plays the twin girls.
Yeah, okay. And the only other thing that I had was some good news, which you may have already heard, but GLOW got renewed for a second season.
Yes, that is amazingly great.
Yeah, I'm excited about that.
With the going to the streaming stuff, I want to chat about that a little bit. I know we talked about that when it came to the Star Trek Discovery.
Yes,
which I've now read that after it airs on the CBS app, it'll air like as a summer fill-in series next summer.
Okay, so I can wait for that.
Right, but like with Disney going to do their own streaming service, now it gets to a point where okay, HBO was basically the first one that was like, hey, we can just launch our own stream. People pay us directly. We can cut out the middleman, you know, cut out the cable companies or whatever.
Yep.
And then, like, Showtime's done it. And now, like I told you, the Boomerang has theirs at $5 a month or $35 for the year.
Stars I get for $8 a month through Amazon.
Exactly. And some of them, like Stars and Showtime, have deals through Hulu as well.
Yep.
But anyhow, so it's going to come to the point now where it's going to be like, okay, well, currently, with my antenna, Hulu, and Netflix, I'm paying way less than what cable is.
Yes.
Yep. I spend $35 a month on internet. It's not the best. It works for me, though.
You're going to start spending $10 more a month, I assume, and get the cable.
Well, see, when they put the line in the house, they drilled through one of my support beams.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I wasn't living here, but they drilled through the support beam and rotted all around it. So when we bought the house, we had to replace that beam. So we had to cut the line. When we replaced the beam, the line cut out. So I don't think I have cable coming in the house anymore.
You have steel walls?
I do not.
You have concrete walls?
No.
Okay. I bet they can drill another hole.
I'm sure they can, but I don't want them drilling another hole through my foundation just to rot out again like it did last time.
It doesn't go through your foundation. They can do it right through a regular wall.
Fair enough. But I got to look into that.
Yeah.
But most likely, I'm going to probably switch to Spectrum because it's $45 a month and it's $60.
Yeah.
I get seven.
For 35.
35 is a fair point, yeah. But it was so much cheaper.
You get seven than, it was DSL.
Yeah. It was so much cheaper than Time Warner Cable.
Yep.
You know, that it was just, it was worth it. And it's worked for me. I haven't had any issues, so to speak, you know. But anyhow, so going back to that, but like, you know, with, right now it's affordable to have this, but like, you know, like if I want to watch CBS, I got to get their app. If I don't have an antenna or whatever, you know, if I want to have all the Disney shows or whatever, I got to get the Disney app.
Yeah.
Well, like currently I have the Disney Junior app and I have the Disney XD app and I have the Disney Channel app on Roku. And I put my mom's username and password in and I get the shows. You can watch the channel live.
Yep.
So depending on how much this Disney streaming service is, I mean, if you can watch all their channels live stream and then have the on-demand access, right, and it's $10 a month, I would probably do that. But then there's a limit that I'm going to do on that because I've heard recently like Nesson has this online streaming service now so you can watch Red Sox games. If you're a Red Sox fan, you know what I mean, and you don't have cable or whatever. But I think that's like, you know, a few bucks a month or whatever. So it's like if you start nickel and diming yourself, at some point it's going to be like, well, I should just get cable.
Here's the interesting thing.
Yeah.
For years now,
yeah,
you know this, I know this, people have been clamoring to the cable companies, not just up here, not just Time Warner, but across the country, yeah, and saying, we want a la carte service.
Yes.
We want to be able to say, I want this network, I want this network, I want this network. Now we're kind of getting towards that with all these premium channels that are doing it, Disney, Hulu, et cetera. We're getting to the point where people are actually doing that. And you're right. Once you reach a certain point, you're like, would it just be cheaper to get the cable?
Yeah.
You know, if this is only $8 a month, and this one's only $11.99 a month, and this one's only $8, and this one, and then pretty soon you're like, well, I'm paying $190 a month between all the little apps.
Exactly, yeah.
But it's nice that we at least have that choice.
Correct. Correct, know? Yeah. But think about it, because, like, for instance, if you're a Game of Thrones fan, you could subscribe to HBO when Game of Thrones is on for the couple of months it's on, and then cancel.
Stars for Ash vs. Evil Dead. If you're like, I don't care about the rest of it.
Subscribe to Stars for a couple of months while it's on and then cancel. Yep. You know, I mean, so I mean, there is positives to that aspect of it. You can just get it for a little while and cancel it or whatever. Like my wife wanted to watch the last season of Shameless.
Mm-hmm.
And so we got I could get Showtime through Hulu, but you got like a 14-day trial first or a 30-day trial. And then you would be billed. So I was like, you got 30 days to watch this show. You know, like the whole season was loaded on there. And then, you know, and she did. And then I canceled it type of thing.
Yep.
But, you know, so like there's always a way to only buy it for a month.
And then remember a couple of weeks ago, I was talking on the podcast about how they've announced that they're going to start taking Hulu numbers into consideration for Nielsen ratings.
Yes.
So, you know, and HBO reports those numbers as well. So you'll always see those in the news reports, you know, Game of Thrones broke records with the most number of concurrent viewers. So I think that's a positive as well. If they're starting to adapt to that technology and say, you know, the Nielsen rating said that it was piss poor. Well, did you take into account DVRs? Did you take into account Hulu watching?
Yeah. That makes a big difference.
It really does.
Especially like I don't have cable. I haven't had cable for 5.5 years now. And I'm not unhappy about it. Like, I don't feel like I've missed out.
Right.
You know, like, I got my antenna.
I bet it was an adjustment period at first.
Initially, it was very rough because I had, like, you know, the big package with the DVR and had all my shows.
Mr. Braggart.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm. Got a big package.
Yeah. So, it was a little bit of a harsh adjustment initially. But I've grown so accustomed to it that it doesn't bother me.
Yeah. You had mentioned when we started talking about that with Star Trek Discovery, and I'm sure that you've been following some of the stories on that and like the controversy over how the Klingons look, and they're claiming, oh, well, we've got reasons behind this, and a lot of people just aren't buying it.
Yeah.
I'm not going to pay for their all-access service.
Neither am I.
I read an interesting article, though, that was – it was not just like an opinion piece. It was actual – stuff that they had researched, but they said that honestly, it looks like the Orville, Seth MacFarlane's, could be more what Trek fans are looking for than Star Trek Discovery. And they were talking about how, like, this has been what Seth MacFarlane has wanted to do all along.
Yeah.
Like, when he first came into TV, he said, I want to do something like Star Trek. I loved Star Trek. I grew up on Star Trek. Let me have something like
that. The Orville actually looks great.
Yeah. Because it's not just straight comedy, it's supposed to also be some drama.
Right.
But they were saying, you know, the actual exploration, the actual, like, campiness. This is going to be closer to what the original Star Trek was before the movies or anything like that.
Nice.
They said it really looks – and then you've got Star Trek Discovery, which you've got to pay a separate fee for. Yep. And they're doling it out to you. It's more action-oriented, like the movies of recent fame or infamy, depending on who you are.
I didn't mind them.
I didn't mind them either. Some Trek fans have had a problem with them because they look at Trek as the more slow-paced, you know, the more diplomatic and brain teaser type of stuff rather than straight-up action and shooting and killing. But anyway, they were saying that, you know, in that respect, in the respect that it's these weird-looking Klingons, et cetera, that it's quite likely that the Orville will scratch that itch that Trek fans have more than Star Trek Discovery. So I thought that was a pretty good
statement. Yeah. It's a pretty big statement.
And let's face it, like, you could say whatever you want about Seth MacFarlane, like, oh, Family Guy's so crude. The guy's a genius. Like, he's...
Yeah.
Family Guy was canceled how many times? 3 times?
Yeah.
And then brought back?
We're up to season 20 or something ridiculous like that. Yep. Yeah.
American Dad was his creation. Cleveland Show didn't really last, but that's okay.
He's got a couple others. A
couple of movies. He's an accomplished singer.
Yeah.
So he's given speeches. He's a great guy. He really knows what he's doing, and I think that he's going to do the Orville justice.
So. Oh, yeah. I really liked A Million Ways to Die in the West. Oh, my God. I thought that was hilarious. And the Ted movies are decent.
Yeah.
You know, so. But anything else?
I don't think so.
I guess we're going to wrap it up then.
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
Not a lot to talk about this week, but that's okay.
No, just an hour, 2 minutes of stuff.
Yeah.
So, reach out. Let us know what you watched or what you think we should watch. Or if you disagree, agree. We like feedback.
Yes. Yes. Feedback is good.
Positive, negative, in between.
Yeah.
Whatever.
And we do take all suggestions into consideration.
Yep. You can find us on the old Twitter machine. The show is at What Did You Watch? I'm at Superstar Mal.
I'm at The Quantum Geek, G33K.
And we've got our Facebook page. Check that out too. Thanks.
Thanks, everybody. Talk to you next week.